Hello, dear listener. So much has happened in Cedar Cove, Season 2, Episode 3, that we have to present our recap in two parts. This is Part 1, containing the opening, stories D, C, and B. For the A story and our closing, listen to Part 2, which is next in the feed.
Hello and welcome to No Helmet Required, the original Cedar Cove podcast in which I, Auntie Karen, and my two friends, Auntie Sarah and Uncle Brian, provide a play-by-play of each and every episode of the original Hallmark dramatic series, Cedar Cove. Auntie Sarah, Uncle Brian, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name's Auntie Sarah, and I like my dog, and I like my sofa. Are we talking about other things now, or should I wait?
Oh, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like us to know about you?
Yeah. I don't usually like puns, but I have a great idea for a pun-related tattoo. I also don't have tattoos, but if I were to get a tattoo, and I may very well get a tattoo, it would be of a bee on my knee.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, what? A bee on your knee?
That way it can be my bee's knee.
Yes.
But it would be a pretty bee. It would be like an Art Deco knee. Be and it oh, will be above sure. the knee, so it wouldn't be two on the nose or on the knee. It would just be above it.
Yeah.
So that the possessive action is there.
Yeah, yeah, because the bee's knee, if it were on the knee, it wouldn't be the same as
it would
the
be
bee's
too much.
Knee. Yeah.
But anyway.
Perfect.
That's cute.
You like it?
Yeah.
Some people are like, ugh.
I like the phrase bee's knees.
I do too.
I like to say things like bee's knees.
Or... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's aces. That's aces.
Ooh, I like it. Nice.
That's good, too.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Anyway, that's me.
Yeah. So, Uncle Brian.
I'm Uncle Brian, and I was actually going to say something about the bee's knees.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, I was, because that's my... that's the phrase that came to mind.
How about that?
When Auntie Karen talked about her phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Karen, and I wish that I had a pair of cat's pajamas, or that I was a pair of cat's pajamas. I'm not sure. They both sound pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either option sounds awesome.
I know, yeah. Then you'd get to curl up with a cat, and you'd be all soft and silky.
Yeah, I guess,
because
right?
a cat would wear silk pajamas.
Oh, totally. A cat would wear silk pajamas.
Not like
monogrammed.
Ones.
Yeah. Yeah, monogrammed. They don't need to be warm in particular. They already have their fur, so it'd be, you know...
Just for slinking.
Just for style.
Yeah. I like it.
All right, well, this week we'll walk you through our synopsis of Season 2, Episode 3.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the D story.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. The D story, you guys?
Four stories. Which one is this?
The D story is seriously just one very dumb scene in which we get another taste of the kind of cases Judge Olivia Lockhart sees.
Oh, my God. I hated this.
Typical work day.
So I'm glad that they...
Freaking dumb.
No, I was glad that they reminded us that she's a judge.
Good point.
That she's just
she
not...
hasn't been judging, at least in the courtroom, for the last two episodes.
Right.
So,
for a long time for
it's
that,
been
right? It's been a while since we've seen her in the courtroom.
It has been a while since we've seen her in her robes. Okay, so this is what's happening. Olivia is presiding over a case where a dude has cut down his neighbor's tree, saying it was a nuisance dropping foliage all over his driveway. Olivia observes, with Holmes-level astuteness, that the tree had been too far from his property to actually scatter leaves on the driveway in question, and she thinks it wasn't the tree at all that troubled him, but that he didn't want to be bothered by the noise of the children playing in the tree and the treehouse that it held. And apparently there is an old law back from logging times, the something timber something.
The timber law of like 1868.
Yeah, the timber lake. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks guys.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
<I know>.
Oh. that if you willfully destroy someone else's tree, you are accountable for three times the value of the tree. And Olivia says the value of a fully grown oak is, well, a lot.
Jesus.
And that's all. She doesn't actually say, we don't actually know how much the value of a fully grown oak tree. Does anyone know or have an imagining
I have no
of how
idea.
Much a fully grown... How
How do you value that? Like, if
do people, I don't like to put values on living things.
If you're going to mill it and sell the timber from it, is that what it's saying?
Maybe. I don't know. But she rules that instead, the dude has to plant a sapling in its place and install a jungle gym for the kids to play on. And as soon as the tree can support a new treehouse, build a new treehouse. And then she says, or you could just pay a hefty fine. But he is sufficiently chastened and says, no, I'll do all the planting and the building. So
yeah.
That seems expensive. You're going to buy, you have to buy and plant the sapling. You have to buy, install a jungle gym.
And then apparently you need to stick around. And
for 25 years. Right. I mean, realistically, right?
It's going to be a while. Yeah. And then you have to actually build a comparable treehouse. This is a big commitment.
I think
commitment.
He's getting off on that part of it. I mean, realistically, really no one is it. Going to ever be able to enforce, like, no how one will ever enforce that ever in 30 years. Like, that's just unenforceable, right?
They'll probably sell the house by then.
Right.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Okay.
Now, this guy just, but this guy just walked into his neighbor's yard and cut down the tree.
Apparently.
They must have really big yards.
Also, there was a treehouse in the tree.
When he cut it down. Crunch.
Like, was his neighbor out of town?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, because that's a lot. Then you have to haul away all the, you know, the destroyed treehouse and...
It's a big expense to tear down a tree, to, like, cut down and dispose of
it. It's dangerous. A 40-year-old tree, I think, would be really hard to, like... You would want a tree service to actually cut down a 40-year-old tree, wouldn't you? Because you can't just, like, cut it and hope it falls the right direction. Right. I mean, apparently he did that.
And in this area, by the way, I know how much it would cost to cut down a ponderosa pine.
Oh, yeah?
$5,000.
Goodness gracious.
That's, you know, that's not cheap.
You know, the more we take this apart, the more I have doubts about all aspects of this story.
Yeah. Well, I mean... okay.
On the other hand, she did get to say the line, was it a magical tree?
Oh my god.
She did get to ask him that.
I wanted to barf all over myself.
I liked that line.
That was good.
Was it a magical tree?
Did it magically walk to over to your driveway?
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Well, yeah, well, okay. I don't know how much the fine was going to be. I don't know about... the cost and the trouble of the jungle gym and the new treehouse, which is probably also a lot. But you know how Olivia is. It's all about shame with a good dose of down-home common sense.
It is, and people just ate it up, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He was sufficiently shamed.
Yeah.
He definitely felt bad about himself. He seemed to, anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, good down-home common sense.
Yep.
But I guess... from my perspective, if that were my property, I would want some money.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, you should plant a sapling.
Yeah, there should be damages.
And I want some damages. Yeah. I mean, that tree was probably providing shade.
Mm-hmm. Recreation for children all over the neighborhood.
May have sentimental value.
Syrup.
It's possible. Leaves
for
art. Can
you tap an oak tree for syrup?
Oh.
Leaves for art projects.
Yeah.
I think
it had like a mini ecosystem in there, like woodpeckers and squirrels and spiders.
Irreparable.
Yeah. Yes.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the plaintiff should have received damages, but you know. Okay. Anyway, that's the D story. Thank God. It was just one scene. It's over.
Adios to that.
Yeah. All right. C story.
Yeah.
Okay. The C story opens with a very quick scene in which Grace is standing in front of her house, and the plumber is telling her that there is lead in her pipes, and it's going to cost $5,000 to switch out the pipes. And then we cut to Grace and Olivia are having a little friend time at Moon's. Olivia is saying it's a little awkward having Justine move back in. More on that later.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And she starts to talk about Eric living with Jack, but before she really has a chance to say anything, Eric comes by trying to refill Grace's water. Oh, you guys, Eric is working at Moon's now.
More on that later, too,
I
thought that he was, like, a handyman, or didn't he have, like, an electrician's, like, wasn't he...
He was, like, a handyman before.
I want to talk more about this later
when we get to Eric. We'll get to Eric and his various...
Career odyssey.
Oh my God. Hater, he's the worst.
Anyway, Eric tries to refill Grace's water, and she shuts him out like a glacier. As Eric walks away, Grace sucks in her teeth, commenting about how he makes her so uncomfortable.
Well, because he's the worst. Uh-huh. Totally get it.
She can't stand having him pour her water.
I know. God, and the way he does it.
Oh.
Olivia says, "Are you ever going to forgive him for taking money from Jack?" And Grace is like, no.
Grace will never forget him for his googly eyes.
And Olivia says, oh my God, you guys, she says this again. Well, that was a long time ago, and he's worked so hard.
Has he?
No. How long ago was it?
Because, 6 months?
Well, because Shelly just gave birth. The reason that he left Shelly was because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And then came to Cedar Cove.
Yeah.
So, this is less than a year.
Yeah, six months, I think. Yeah.
Six to 4 months. Yeah. That's what I think.
It's been recent. Anyway, it was a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, all right. So, then if you'll remember, at the end of the last episode, Jack tried to give Olivia a key to his home. Do you guys remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, during this little lunch, this little friend lunch... Olivia mentions that Jack is trying to give her a key to his house. More on this later. And Grace is like, yeah, what's the big deal? And Olivia says, well, it seems so serious.
Oh my God.
To which Grace replies, it's only serious if it fits on your third finger of your left hand. Otherwise, yeah. It's just a key.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm totally into that.
All right, so then Eric has to come back to the table to tell Grace that her credit card was declined.
Oh! Embarrassing! and he's horrible about it because he's Eric.
Mortified.
Turnabout.
Yeah, she's like, well, you know, sometimes these things don't work. And he's like, well, I ran it 3 times.
Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry, Grace.
So then she melts into kind of a shame spiral.
Cash crunch.
As one does. Olivia asks, are you okay? And Grace says, no, not okay. I am far from okay.
Oh, God, it's so melancholy.
I know. So then the two of them, they're walking to the courthouse and into Olivia's chambers as Grace explains that the house is falling apart. First the water heater, now the pipes. And apart from the money, it's just hard to manage all of it. Yeah. Not knowing who to hire and whether they're coming and if they're ripping you off. She just can't handle it.
She sounds like every paranoid woman of a certain age. Is that person ripping me off? Is that person ripping me off? Why do they want to know? Why are they calling me? Who's that person looking at me as I exit my house?
It's understandable to a certain extent.
I'm all alone. Going into one of the major concerns of their demographic, right?
Yeah.
Is single women who own houses
or like cars or anything like
that start to go bad?
You don't know.
No, it's true. I mean, yeah.
Anyway, Mary Ellen is gone. Remember, dear listener, she moved to New York with John Bowman.
Fifteen minutes ago. And the house has fallen apart.
Yeah. So she's gone and not paying rent anymore.
She's slowly poisoning. Also, hold on.
Yes.
Can we talk about the fact that the guy's like, you've got lead in your pipes? And her response was $5,000 instead of, oh my God, I've been poisoning myself. I've been drinking that. Or like,
right.
I think she has a filter.
Oh, okay.
She has a filter.
But she bathes in that? She washes her stuff in that?
She washes her vegetables. She makes her herbal tea.
I would be a little bit more concerned about the fact that I got lead in my pipes instead of being like, ugh, how much does this goo cost?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, continue.
All right. Anyway, Dan used to handle all of this stuff.
How long has she been divorced from Dan?
So at the beginning of season one is when she just got back from Sedona with The Rock.
Yes.
And she was too depressed to go shopping. And that was her I just got divorced trip.
So maybe he's been out of the house 2 years tops.
At most.
Yeah.
2 years.
It's literally been 6 months since she went to Sedona.
Because in the very next episode, Because so that was episode 2 that Grace came of season 1 where Grace came back. In episode 3 is when Eric showed up.
Was only 4 to 6 months ago.
Right, because it's shorter than a pregnancy.
Yeah.
I don't think he left until after the first trimester was done.
Yeah, I mean, it's real until the second trimester. It probably took her a little while. I mean, she had,
I think Dan cursed the house when he left.
Oh.
Well, he's done more than that.
He did some sort of warlock spell.
Yes.
On top of doing some malfeasance on his part.
And on top of the lead, he probably physically put the lead in the pipe.
Yeah.
Dan
did this. He broke the water heater. He snuck in.
He never did the dishes anyway. Remember that?
It's true.
That was in the season finale of season 1. We learned that he never did a dish in 28 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan
was the worst.
He never did the dishes, but he did keep the lead out of the pipes. And now that he's gone, it's
seeped in.
Yeah. Everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
Olivia suggests that she sell the house. And Grace says, no way, I love this house. So you can guess where this is going.
Yeah.
How has no one thought of getting a Laverne to her Shirley and getting a woman of a certain age roommate?
Oh.
How did that never come up? That was my immediate thought. Get yourself a roommate.
My immediate thought was...
rent out Mary Ellen's room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My immediate thought was, Olivia is money bags, and she's always trying to give money to everyone else. Why doesn't Olivia give Grace a loan to improve the house?
Or just give her $10,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Or slap a historic site plaque on it and just,
Yeah.
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 But I like how Olivia, she was like, maybe it's time to... And I was like, oh, what's she going to say? What's she going to say? Is she going to say retirement community? Yeah. Is she going to say...
adult diapers.
Community for active seniors. Uh-huh. Adult web house. Uh-huh. Maybe you need a Dell web house, Grace.
God.
Active... a condo complex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. For others swinging.
Get yourself a nice condo at the marina.
Yeah.
It's all the space you need. You're an active lady.
Why are you selling them? Yeah. There's tons.
See, that's actually a pretty good solution.
A condo
at the marina for an active lady.
And with
like
a
Grace.
Roommate so that you're not lonely. Cause,
well, they have all kinds of cooking class in the common areas. Cooking things and at those senior swing
line
senior.
Dancing.
Yes, line dancing.
Walking groups.
Yeah. Art classes.
Jesus. Wine and art classes?
Yeah, well, wine and art.
Grace's house, I mean, it's at least 3 bedrooms, right? At least.
Yeah.
She could have a roommate and never even see that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she probably wants to be all up in that person's business. But still, I mean, or a
co-worker.
But
she would never trust anyone other than Olivia enough to have them be... a roommate, though,
true.
Right? Because she would be suspicious of them.
Of everything they do all the
time. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well...
it's too bad she's missing out.
Anyway, so we cut to Cowboy Cliff showing up at Grace's house. Now, they
had... poor, long-suffering man.
I know. They had plans, and apparently Grace forgot. She's done this more than once.
Yeah.
She's gonna lose that man.
You know how she's really bad.
She better be careful. He's her ticket out of this money pit.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of don't like the way she forgets her plans with him.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. The plumber is here and I can't leave. And he says, oh, you know what? It's no biggie. We'll just order pizza. And she says, oh, you don't mind? He says, no, of course not. Then the plumber comes over and says, your house is falling apart. There's a leak probably in the foundation, blah, 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 $10,000.
At least.
This is hideous.
Yeah. Then Grace and Cliff are outside her house, and he's poking around with a flashlight saying,
under the porch.
Under the porch.
Least constructive place to poke around.
But he does say, to his credit, he says, okay, can I stop pretending I know what I'm doing here?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He says, if it were a horse, I could help you, but I really can't help with this.
Thank goodness she doesn't live in a horse.
Grace, the stylish librarian who lived in a horse.
Guess it's better than living in a shoe.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It would be like a mobile bookmobile on horse. In horse.
In horse.
And she would go places and...
weird.
Pop out and...
frighten children.
They'd wheel her in. into the gates of Troy. Then Grace would just pop right out.
Yeah. Surprise, guys.
Surprise.
I got booked.
I booked you.
Yeah. I booked you.
I'm going to force literacy on you.
Okay. So then he gently broaches the idea of selling the house. He says, your family, your friends, your memories, that's what home is.
Oh, he had a really good line that I really liked.
Yeah.
You don't own this house. This house owns you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
True.
Another thing that you say to an old person to get them the hell out of their home. Yeah,
that sounds very familiar.
And I liked his tone here. I thought he was respectful. I thought he wasn't trying to tell her what to do. He was just throwing out an idea in a very loose way. And he didn't seem... He wasn't bossy about it. I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now here's a melancholy scene. Grace is wandering around her house, looking at and touching things. It just goes on and on, room to room, looking, touching.
Isn't it funny how she can look and touch at all of those things, like, in another home, in a smaller condo?
Yeah.
All of those photos.
You know, the photos she could look and touch at.
There is
one thing. Okay, I guess, so she's considering the house and its value to her. Now, there are some height marks in a door frame for Mary Ellen and someone named Kelly, who is, I guess, her other daughter, who is never discussed.
Or
seen.
A dog.
Or a very tall dog.
A great Dane.
That dog that she raised from a puppy.
So we can't tell. Do you guys remember when we first learned that there was another daughter?
Yeah, there is another daughter, I guess.
Grace was on a date with Warren Jeffs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wait, is that his name?
The Mormon leader.
Will Jeffers.
Olivia's brother.
Warren Jeffs.
Right. Polygamous cult leader.
Yes.
Who wore a t-shirt with a blazer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like he's Silicon Valley.
Like he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the silver fox hairdo.
Yeah. Cowboy Cliff punched him.
We never liked him. We were happy when Cowboy Cliff punched him.
We were.
Absolutely.
That was good stuff. Anyway, when they went out to lunch, we heard her say, well, I have two daughters. They're all grown now.
Yes.
And that was it.
Like, one I never acknowledge.
Yeah.
And one lives with me.
Mary Ellen lives with me. Yes. The other one shall not be named.
Right.
So from the height marks, we can't tell if Kelly is older or younger, that is, taller or shorter, because you can't read the date. But they're kind of staggered, so maybe they're a year and a half or...
Staggered and multicolored.
2.5 years apart. We don't know.
No.
It's a mystery.
Or one got Dan's genes. Mary Ellen clearly got Dan's genes, because he was a basketball player and she grew to be very tall.
Whereas
Kelly maybe got Grace's genes. Grace is much shorter.
And she wears platforms.
Petite. Yeah.
Yeah. And chunky jewelry.
Yeah.
She's sassy. They're too much alike, that's why they never talk.
Secretly 70 years old. Lives in her own condo.
For active adults.
That's probably what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay, more on that later.
Condo community for active adults. She's like, I'm 30 years old.
I'm active. I'm adult. I'm active. Sell me a condo.
I like watercolors. I like shuffleboard.
I like walks.
I can rock a cardigan.
I like to drink wine and paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It doesn't sound terrible.
It's starting to sound like my life.
Yeah. You're an active adult.
You're an active adult, guys.
Oh, good for you.
A new label. I like it. I might grow into it. Okay. So after this scene of this wandering around looking at and touching things scene, apparently Grace has come to a realization. She barges into Olivia's chambers. Remember, there's no receptionist. And says, you and Cliff were right. I'm going to sell my house. She says someone expressed interest not long ago, and they still want to buy it.
How convenient.
Yeah.
I know, so convenient. So I'm going to go through with it.
These people just
I'm sure those people
house.
Who expressed interest in your house will be excited to hear that it has lead in the pipes and a leak in the foundation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they'll be stoked.
They're going to have to
They're going to want to
She's not going to get a, what not, she not thought she was going to get price. For this house.
Yeah. Olivia volunteers to handle the paperwork, so I guess she's also that
crazy.
Kind of lawyer.
Is she also like a notary public?
She probably is a notary, don't you think?
She's probably
as a judge?
All the things.
Well, yeah, in a small town, don't you think she would be a notary also?
Oh, yeah.
Small town judge? I don't know, I'm just making this up.
Who can be a notary? Can I be a notary?
By tomorrow.
Yeah. Wah, wah!
No, I don't know if that's true.
you just have to get sort of certified, right?
I suppose.
Background check.
Licensed.
Licensed. Pass the boards.
Maybe there's a school.
A notary school?
I mean, notary school. Like, I mean, not an actual physical school, but like, you might have to go to training.
Like crossing guard school.
Maybe you get you get a letter inviting you to go to notary public school.
Hello.
And you don't have
been randomly selected.
Yeah, you can't just go there. It flies down the fireplace like in Harry Potter.
Or jury duty.
Yeah.
Or jury duty.
What did jury duty hear like that?
An owl brings it and you're like, no, I have a jury duty owl.
You're excited for notary public school.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Right?
Everyone wants to be a notary.
Yeah. All right. You can notarize everything.
I know.
I'd notarize all of my notes.
It's a way to go through life.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to stop looking in the rearview mirror, Grace says. All right,
she's
then,
a million years old. Time to move forward with my old man life.
It's, you guys, it's the last scene, okay? Okay, sorry. It's okay. Grace and Cliff are walking their horses through a gorgeous meadow against the water.
That was very pretty.
It was very pretty. And she reveals that she is selling her house and has never been happier. She admits he was right, and he says humbly, well, I don't gloat. And he seemed to be sincere when he said
did.
That.
That was
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
This is the horse she's thinking of moving into, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it.
Condos for active adults. Don't you mean horse ranches for active adults?
Don't you mean horses for active
this
adults?
This is the horse I'm thinking of living in after I saw my house, Cliff.
Oh, it's like God. A Barbie horse where you, like, pull down one side of it on a hinge, yeah. and then you can, it's like a dollhouse, and you can see the rooms.
I like
you
it.
Just climb in. Oh, I'm in the kitchen on a plastic chair.
If you pull on the tail, its head goes,
yeah. That's probably the next step.
That's her next move.
It's obvious.
Clearly.
Horse condo.
Yeah.
This is
for active adults.
For active adults. Okay, you guys, we did it.
Yay!
Yeah, B story.
Oh my God.
Yay!
Okay, so, B story. We open on Justine and Seth 2 in Justine's apartment.
Sorry.
Comment?
I can't stand Seth 2.
I know.
Let's continue.
Should we talk about Justine's jacket?
I love that jacket.
Yes. It's actually right. It's coming.
I know how unusual it is for me to bring up someone's piece of clothing because I almost never notice them.
Well,
okay.
It's like,
we'll
get to it. I just want to say what they're saying first.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay. Well, no, you know, we can go right there.
No.
Okay.
No, let's ride the river.
All right. So the two of them are in Justine's apartment, and she is folding his clothes much more nicely than he says is necessary.
Oh, my God.
And he looks really sad, and she says, what? It's your opportunity to start over and get a boat.
In other words, I can't wait to get you the fuck out of my home.
Yes.
Goodbye forever.
Which, I mean, he had a boat, so I guess this is like a commercial boat that he wants to buy?
But then, is that the boat that we see? Is that the boat that he bought with the crew that he's
responsible for? That's his.
That's
his chaperone.
That's the shuttle boat.
Okay. Good.
Oh, that's the shuttle boat that gets you to Derek's boat.
Yeah, okay, I think that's a boat that's taking him somewhere.
It's just a because.
Yeah, I think it's like a water taxi.
Okay, good, because he was so moronically proud of like the responsibility I have in the boat.
I sort of. It's probably a lot like that boat. Really, I think like.
But where do they sleep if they're out on the open waters for who knows how long?
Oh.
Maybe these are big. I don't know. Well, he
it
says
might be a bigger boat than we than.
Oh, I hope
so
not. We saw.
She mentions that he's gonna get a boat. And then he says, and I'm going to point that boat right back here at you.
Well, that's not going to help.
Is no. that a
metaphor? That's actually not how this works.
He's going to have to take out another person alone.
But when he says, I'm going to point that boat right back here at you, is that a metaphor? Like, is his dick a boat now?
Or is that a threat? It might be a threat.
Okay, so it could be his penis, or it could be threatening to run her down with the boat.
But then the smile that she gives him, that with it's like so the pitying. Lack of answer,
pitying. Yeah. The pitying smile.
It's just like, your boat will never enter these waters again.
True. I mean,
that's the thing with this scene, right? Is that he doesn't realize that they're breaking up.
How does he not realize that?
It's so clear.
It's so clear to her.
Yeah, that they're breaking up, but she won't say it.
Obviously breaking up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not buying the thing together. They're not engaged anymore.
No.
Relationships kind of go in one direction. You don't get engaged, and then you're not engaged without breaking up. Like,
she's leaving that apartment. She's moving back in with her mother so that she can regroup, save her money.
He doesn't know that yet.
Yeah.
Seth 2 says that he's going to send her a rent check every month to help her with the apartment. And she says, no need. I'm moving back in with my mom. And then he looks really forlorn about that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Finally. But I don't understand. Like, she could afford the apartment just fine before he moved in. Right?
I think she maybe... maybe spend a ton of her... Like,
yeah.
There's restaurant debt, maybe.
Remember all that? Like, remember that big mural that she was painting? That
cost money. Oh, the buckets of paint.
Yeah.
I guess they did buy some things for the restaurant, and now that they didn't own.
Yeah.
Well, then she said something like, "And after I stay with my mom, then I'll be able to save money for my own. Our own place." Like, she said my, and then I corrected it to our. And it's like, oh, Seth, did you notice that?
Seth doesn't notice anything ever.
No. Well, he's kind of a dumbass.
I know. Okay,
it's a block of cheese.
Okay, let's talk about Justine's Southwestern motif blazer.
I really liked it.
Grace bought it in Sedona and brought it back for her.
She brought Olivia a rock, I doubt it.
She was too sad to shop. But you know what it reminds me of? I wrote this in my notes. Do you guys know Susie Orman, the financial expert?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Okay. So Kristen Wiig did a spoof of her on SNL, the thing, and it's like, it's all about the jackets, and she's like, first people, then money, then things, then jackets. and says that she gets all her jackets at Joanne's Phoenix Jacket Junction.
Oh. Yeah.
And it looks like she got it at Joanne's Phoenix Jacket Junction.
I would totally have gotten that jacket at Joanne's Phoenix Jacket Junction myself, and I would have worn it to work. I would have styled it a little differently, but that's because I'm not Justine.
What would you have done? Or what did she do? I just saw the jacket.
There was the jacket, but then she had this, like, very busy blouse underneath that was, like, a taupey, shiny, ruffly number.
Too much.
Too much stuff. Mm-hmm. I would have paired it all black. And the jacket over all black. Oh.
Would you have thrown in some of Grace's chunky turquoise jewelry?
I even think that would be too distracting from the glory of the jacket.
Of the jacket.
The jacket. Uh-huh. Jacket. Jacket.
Yeah.
Seth, too, doesn't know what he's leaving behind.
I know.
He's leaving behind a woman remaking herself with Southwestern jackets.
Yes.
I think that is a plan. I'm going through a rebirth. I'm going to start wearing Southwestern motif.
I'm going to cut my hair. I'm going to start dressing totally differently.
Uh-huh. Burning sage.
I'm going to start taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I'm meditating
now. Yep. I'm drinking juices.
Some good down-home white lady cultural appropriation.
Exactly. Yes.
Why not?
She's going to save all of her money, and then she's going to start fresh.
Yeah.
Without block of cheese.
Anyway,
go to Santa Fe.
They say that they love each other, and they kiss, and you just have a sense that it's all doomed.
Forever.
Yeah, no.
Avi.
That's the Judas kiss of goodbye.
Well, yeah.
I was surprised she even said she loves him, because he was like, I love you, and she's like, it's because I'm so lovable. And I was like, oh, is this like a Han Solo thing? And then she's like, I love you too. And I was like, all right.
God. So then, Justine and Seth 2 go to the thrift store to donate a bunch of, I guess, Seth 2's clothes. And Justine runs into Cecilia. Depressing. If you remember Cecilia, she was the one whose baby died in the very first episode, and she got back together with her husband, who was on the submarine, and her dad owns that bar.
That's right!
Was she played by a different actress?
Different person?
I think it was the same person.
Really?
Oh, I didn't recognize her
at all.
Oh. person.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We could double check. But that's Cecilia. Oh. Because she talked about helping her dad with the bar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so, I'm doing this. And I'm doing that. And I'm so involved in whatever. Right.
Yeah. So Cecilia.
Plot point alert.
Yeah.
Right? Things are about to shift.
This is a clue.
Yeah. This is, ugh.
Cecilia is here at the thrift store volunteering for vets coming home from their assignments overseas.
Okay. At the thrift store?
It's a thrift store that
specializes in vetwear?
Vetwear.
I think it benefits vets.
They make money and then use the money for vet programs.
Because why would we have a government that takes care of our veterans?
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we rather just have them get spare change out of thrift store?
And lemonade stands.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Bake sales.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get political.
It's okay, Uncle Brian. Your whole self is welcome here. Cecilia says she's doing great. She's helping her dad. She's volunteering, you know, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, what are you up to, Justine?
Oh, Justine.
And Justine has this rueful look and says, you know, that's a really good question.
Justine, you are such a sad sack.
Life
crisis. You are such a sad sack. Like, because grow a spine, get your shit together.
I feel like before Seth 2 dropped this stupid restaurant bomb, she was really happy at the gallery. Like,
yeah.
She,
and she's an artist of some sort.
That.
She was always weird self-deprecating about that. But then, yeah, she got a second wind working at the gallery, and she was loving it.
She was selling jewelry.
And
she was painting
jewelry,
things.
And yada yada. Like,
no, this just feels so forced.
And she even said, I feel like I really have a place here.
What happened to that? Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know what I'm doing my life. Oh, no.
And she was in the art walk? And she did
immediately.
I went to the thrift store, and I'm going to do that now.
I'm at the thrift store. My entire life is crumbling around me. Oh,
now I found meaning. At the thrift store. Veterans. I'm going to have veterans.
This is like a Yoda Macklemore song.
Macklemore song. Oh, it's a Macklemore song.
Sorry.
Oh.
Meeting at the thrift shop.
Oh my god. Oh. Let's sing that every time.
Okay. My name's Justine. I go to the thrift shop.
Yeah. We'll work on it.
We'll work on that.
Okay, so then we cut to Olivia and Justine. They're by the water in Olivia's backyard, and they're talking about the move. Justine says she doesn't really need any help because she has plenty of free time.
Oh my god.
I guess.
Her life is over
now? Did she just completely quit her job at the gallery?
And now that
Mary Ellen closed.
Mary Ellen left. Right? Who knows who's Mary Ellen?
She took the key with her, I think. So
Justine can't get in.
Mary Ellen burned that place to the ground before she left. She's like, screw you, people!
I can't manage it. No one can.
She drove out of town with both middle fingers in the air.
Yeah.
She walked away in slow motion, not looking back.
As it goes.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I liked the gallery. I liked the two of them interacting, starting to have like a real friendship. I liked that.
Sorry, that's not a plot.
That's not going to happen.
That's not anymore.
Too bad.
Okay.
The writers have other plans.
They sure do. Justine tells her mom that she feels bad about moving back in with her at Justine's age.
I mean, 45?
No kidding. How old is Justine now?
70? She should be in her own condo by now.
For an active adult.
But that's the thing. She's not an active adult.
She is
according
very inactive,
to her own
isn't
self,
she? Yeah.
She has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she used to go jogging. Remember when she used to be running from Warren in the car?
And then she would go get her vanilla latte.
Set 2 ruined her.
Set 2 really did ruin her because she's not jogging. She's not making art.
She's not doing shit.
Yeah.
She's wearing blazers.
You know, I like, at least she's wearing blazers.
Than nothing.
Yeah. She's got that haircut that's looking a little bit better this episode than
slightly.
In the first.
Yeah. Olivia's like, everyone goes through transitions. It'll be fine.
Sure.
Man, this woman just has, she just doesn't want to deal with anything, does she?
No, she doesn't.
No.
It'll be fine.
A comforting cliche for every occasion.
Yeah, God.
That's her.
Yeah, worthless reassurance.
Yep.
Then Justine and Seth, too, are packing her kitchen, and I'm seeing a really nice mint green KitchenAid mixer. Did you see that?
I saw that.
What?
Who can afford that?
Why does she have that mixer?
I don't know.
It was...
Because she's a white lady.
But she's...
Stan bought it for her for some birthday.
Oh. Stan bought it for her?
Probably. She asked for it.
She asked for it.
Because she thought she was going to cook.
Because she when she moved into that place...
She thought she was going to bake
things. I'm going to bake, and I'm going to cook, and I'm going to pickle, and I'm going to ferment, and I'm going to make my own kombucha, and I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning every day and do yoga for an hour. And then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to... Also, I'm going to grow my own herbs.
She didn't do any of those things.
No, she didn't.
I want that life.
I know. That's pretty good. But she didn't fulfill any of those.
Well, it's the kind of thing you put on a wedding registry.
Well, she's very clearly decided she's never getting married. She's just getting serially engaged. Maybe Warren bought it for her.
But it doesn't match his palette.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't...
It's too cheerful.
We've never seen her bake, ever.
Except when she was cajoled into doing it by the her cupcake, own mother and grandmother.
When they were making the bake sale to save... Yeah.
To save the library.
The library or the lighthouse or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever it was. But that was in Olivia's kitchen, right?
It was, it wasn't her mixer.
It wasn't her mixer.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know. I'm sorry. I was just like, dang, that is like...
That's an expensive mixer.
That's like a $300 mixer.
Oh, yeah.
Who has that mixer?
And it's a special edition color.
Thank you.
It was a nice color.
Yeah. Anyway, she laments that Seth, too, has always known what he wants to do, and her mom...
Really? What? In what world are we living in?
He's always wanted to be on a boat.
Boat.
Boat, fish, God. Alaska, money, freedom.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And her mom, even, has wanted to be a lawyer since she was a little girl, and poor Justine doesn't know what she wants to do.
I've had it with her.
Except art. I mean,
but
what about making jewelry?
She forgot about that. You'll figure it out, Seth 2 says, and kisses her on the forehead.
Ew.
Gross. She does not look reassured.
Well, she needs to go and have some kind of spirit journey. She did so well on that spirit journey through the Alaskan highway wilderness.
She does.
She did, but now she's got to go to the American Southwest.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's a good point.
Sweat lodge.
She's down at the wharf. This is the last
scene. She does got to go to Taos. Yeah.
It's the last scene of the B story.
Could this be the last time we ever see Seth 2?
What I kept thinking. I had it with him.
I think it might be.
Goodbye forever.
Has his teeth gotten weirder? Does he have new teeth?
I feel like every time we see him, we're like, is there something wrong with his hair? Does his face look weird to you?
Is he changing in only slightly perceptible ways?
Yeah, like he's capped his teeth with teeth that are slightly bigger and blockier than his original
teeth. He's put on his Alaska teeth.
His Alaska choppers.
He's heading north. He's got to put on his Alaska
teeth. He's ready for all that raw fish that he's going to eat.
Wow.
Reach down from the boat and like
rip off. He's gonna catch haddock heads,
bare hands, rip off their tails with his teeth.
Gross.
Seth 2 is disgusting.
He's the worst.
All right, down at the wharf,
teeth are weird and his head's weird. And his just weird.
Justine is kissing Seth 2 goodbye, saying, I'm proud of you, Captain.
I will never see you again. That brings me joy.
Yeah, he gets on the boat and they motor away, and Justine, per usual, looks unsteady.
I was so proud of her. She managed this perfectly.
Yeah, she really
She
did.
Broke up with him.
She got, without
him knowing that they broke up.
Yeah.
She got rid of him far away, making him think it was his, his idea, and he's following his dream.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't she never had to say, I don't like you anymore, you need to get out, we're done. Like, she just sort of arranged this whole thing.
And
that's
now,
goodbye.
Now she's going to...
chasing your dream.
She's going to ghost the shit out of him.
Yes!
And he'll never have seen it coming. He's like,
no!
Well, Alaska
does have
really poor internet connection.
That's right. We already
know that. Established last season when he tried to email her and it, quote, didn't go through.
Because they use dial-up. Not even dial-up. They use fax machines.
That's good.
We just showed our age.
I know.
Prodigy!
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was proud of her. She did that. She played it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good work.
Now she's gonna work something, maybe there's something with the thrift store.
She's gonna work
something
for veterans.
Veterans!
Is she gonna find her next idiot boyfriend?
Probably. He's going to be a veteran. Let's just say it.
Karen's making
He's
going to
be a veteran, right?
I think I tapped the vein of the next plot. Damn. Are you kidding me? Justine, you are pathetic. All of the goodwill and love that I developed for you in our Enneagram special bonus episode is quickly...
She's wasted it?
She's wasting that shit.
Are you... You have empathy exhaustion?
A little bit, because she's making dumb... I mean, other than dropping Seth 2, which was smart and smooth.
Smart and smooth, but she's not going to make use of her newfound active adult singlehood.
Exactly! Live a life!
Oh, look at my new boyfriend. He's a vet with PTSD, and I have to mother him.
I got that right?
Dear listener,
I'm trying not to say much, but I did just give Auntie Sarah a thumbs up. From what I recall, I'm pretty sure that is the next plot point.
Oh, my God, Justine.
I'm pretty sure. We'll see.
All right, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let things unfold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang. You know, she gets a condo first.
I hope that she saves
but
some
she's
money.
She's not gonna.
Oh, she takes at least one vacation by herself.
Oh, I hope so.
She deserves that.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
I don't think so, but...
I don't think so.
Either.